is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul.
Next on News for the Soul, Indigenous Perspectives with Diane. Diane Hill is a member of the Bear Clan of the Mohawk Nation, situated at the Six Nations of the Grand River Territory in Ontario. She works as an integrative programs consultant at the Real School Leadership Program. She's also the director, owner, and operator of a private healing lodge and learning center focused on healing and fostering emergence of the good mind. Her passion is to teach, empower, and bridge the Western allopathic scientific perspective with the ancient, indigenous, multidimensional approach to wholeness. Please welcome Diane back to News for the Soul.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's really good to be back on the air live again. I'm invited back as my guest today, Matthew Assinoue. And Matthew is from the Wequemecon Unceded Territory, located on eastern Manitoulin Island here in Ontario. And Matthew is a registered kinesiologist and a clinical exercise physiologist with an undergraduate degree from the University of Toronto. Matthew has worked in various roles in healthcare, and he works with prescribing exercises for children, youth, adults, and older adults. Since moving back home to Wequemecon from the southern areas, arriving back in September in 2017, Matthew's return to his home territory helped him begin a spiritual journey that would take him on a healing path that continues to this day. So I'd like to welcome back to Indigenous Perspectives my guest, Matthew Assinoue. Hi, Matthew.
Hello. You can hear me well?
Yes, I hear you very well, sir. Thanks for joining.
All right.
Matthew, I just wondered...
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Matthew, I'm just wondering if we could go down your spiritual journey, how your gifts unfolded and your healing path unfolded. I just wondered if you would mind sharing that, and you can pick it up from wherever you like. On your bio, you indicated that things started to change for you, and you got back to your home territory at Wequemecon, Wiki for short, and that was in 2017. So I'm just wondering if you could share with our audience today some insights on how you unfolded your spiritual gifts. Like, how did that spiritual journey go for you, and how is it connected to the healing path? Or maybe they're both one and the same journey for you. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I had moved. I was living in Six Nations at the time, and come back to work with school children doing occupational physiotherapy in the schools. That had led up until 2019, but before I left the position there. So I did about 2 years there. During that time, I don't remember too much happening in 2017. It was more like 2018. I started to, it was around the spring when I started dating my current partner now, and I started with her. Like, I remember one time we were having a cigarette outside, and then I happened to look up on my left of me, and I seen that there was a fireball, right? And as soon as it looked at me, it went up in a black smoke. Like, it almost as though, like, if you were to put a candle upside down and blow it out.
Right.
That's the easiest way I can put it. So then I didn't know what that was, right, at the time. I know what it was now. They say that the I don't know what kind of ceremony is being done, but our people, when they needed to find, say plant medicine, they would have these out-of-body experiences where they would use the element of fire or shkude in our language to go and search for those items, right? They would travel a lot faster than on foot. And that was its purpose. But I find out later that this wasn't, you know, someone was using it for another reason, right? To spy on me, to see that I was home, I was with someone else. And, you know, I had shared this with someone that summer. It was one of the elders' wife about it, and they're like, "Oh, maybe you're just opening up into your gifts, right?" And I'm just like, "I guess," but I don't know. I don't know what it was. Right, you hear of these fireballs, people seeing it, and everyone's like, "Oh, it's bad medicine," they call it, right?
Yes.
So, anyway. I believe it was that summer, too, when I started, like, just really more connected with the land. I felt, you know, just, I can remember being outside outdoors and just, like, the air came through and you just, you know, felt free. Like, I think that was, like, a really small start to all this as it went and progressed.
So was that the first time, Matthew? That you saw some kind of spiritual force or some kind of entity or some kind of, was that the very first time when you saw that fireball? Was that the first time you became aware that you could see these things?
No, because I remember on our last show that we talked on back in June, I believe I shared about those shadow figures I used to see when I was younger, right? And you know, even when we left this one home on the reserve with Mickey and moving to where my mom stays now, you know, I was doing bicep curls and I remember seeing the same thing of a head, just a head basically. You could see some of the shoulder, but just walk across the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just being fearful of what the heck am I seeing, right? And, you know, and then seeing the hat man, I think they call him, or the wanderer, that guy with the top hat, and he's got like the real big smile, the slit eyes. He was orange when I seen him in Niagara Falls, and then followed me all the way to Germany as well.
So you've had incidences kind of all your life at sporadic times, like random times. You were getting glimpses of these, we'll call them spirits, say, or entities, as you were moving through. And so when did you really take an interest in trying to find out what they were about? Was it the fireball that started your, piqued your interest and made you decide that I'm going to kind of find out what this is or why am I seeing these things? Is that what happened?
I don't think it wasn't until like 2019 when, I'm trying to think about the summer of 18, because then I had my partner move in with me in November 2018 to Wiki. And, I don't remember too much happening at that point, but I know that these, individuals were trying to mess with the relationship, right? Because I can remember doing some not so good things to my partner, making her feel sad, right? And me laughing about it. Obviously now that's not who I am, right? So
yes,
I end up finding out later that they sent fire spirits to inhabit my physical form, right?
Yes.
So I had to get help to get those out. And even that, too, kind of just felt like, what the, like, what is this, you know? Like, I come from a science background, and you're kind of going into these this spiritual battle, which I felt I had no control over, right? I felt I had no power, but see, that's what had happened at a young age, right? It was really feeling robbed from that, and I can get into some of that with that first pipe ceremony we did there last year around this time. But yeah, I could remember the, you know, feeling small and, you know, useless. What do I have to offer to this battle? Feels one-sided, right? I don't have these tools to combat anything. And around that time too, well, that was more of 2020, but in 2019 was when we call it that Menudo Wabid, which is that spiritual eye, in our language anyway, that, or in English they call it the third eye, right? Everyone has
yeah.
that ability to have that open. And see, at the time I thought I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I'm able to astral travel, which I didn't know what that was at the time. I was able to visit
mm-hmm.
people who had passed, seeing it even during the time I was drinking, you know, like in dabbling with marijuana, it was still there and feeling unworthy of it. Why is this here? So it was, I think in 2019, that's when it was time to, like, you know, start to, it was a, I don't want to say a tool, but it was something that was given at that time where I needed to start seeing these visions and having these people come to me, these old knowledge keepers, and start helping me on my way.
It's your story is falling right in line with some of our teachings when they say that when the student is ready, right, the teachers will come, the knowledge keepers will come. So at some point in that along in your journey, I think it sounds like it really started when you made a decision that I'm going to find out, like, why I'm seeing these things. Something's been given to me. And even though I might feel a little bit unworthy, or I might feel a lot unworthy, I'm not sure where you were at that point, but you still made a conscious choice to find out and learn more about it. Did I follow that correctly?
Yeah, like I remember in around 2019, it was just a matter of like, okay, this is open. How do I use this? And, you know, meditation was a part of that, right? And I can't even really say how it happened, but I know there was this inhale, exhale, hold seconds, inhale, have the stomach diaphragm out, you know, hold for a few seconds. I kind of found that relaxed me. Plus, it was also around a time, too, when I wasn't working, so I wasn't going to a job. I had taken a stress leave.
Yeah.
So I know it was in that mid-July is when it happened, and I wasn't working at the time.
When what happened?
Oh, that third eye opened.
Okay.
You know, looking back on it now, it probably wouldn't have happened if I was still working, right? I had to have not been doing nothing in order for all the pieces to fall into where they did.
You would have been
free
too busy
during the day, right?
Yeah, because
right,
you would have been too
word.
Busy and distracted. Distracted, I think, is the word. When you're
mm-hmm.
working, your mind's focused and your attention's focused elsewhere. So you would have been distracted. So when you were off work, you had some free time, some space, some room to breathe, we'd say, where that ability
mm-hmm.
was able to give you an experience. Can you explain a little bit how you knew it was the third eye opening?
When I came on this meditation,
mm-hmm.
was just the visual. So as soon as I closed my eyes, I could just see it as bright, you know, eyelashes. You could see the eyelid.
You
could see it moving left and right, closing its eye. And, you know, even the time I was drinking down in that summer, like it shed a tear as I was, you know, intoxicated, right? Still being able to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, not knowing what this is, right? Like, no mentor really. I remember telling, you know, the helper who gave me my name, Jakey. I told him when I was seeing you, like, it's a gift that you got right now.
Okay,
but not
yeah.
going any further than that, right?
Yeah.
Not knowing how to harness this or what to do. So I kind of felt really alone, right? Like, what am I, why am I having this? What am I supposed to do? I feel, though, in that time, it helped to, again, to get some knowledge from my past ancestors, who I'm talking about as a grandmother and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to travel to see them, get advice, seeing old Anishinaabe and Nene, like an old knowledge keeper on his white horse, and getting a scroll from him. You know, and just trying to question, like, what are, well, not really question, but why do I get these things, right? And so there was just some, like, there was some advancement to, like, help me to understand, like, you got something here, and then dreams start to come through as well, right?
Yes.
And
so you had waking
visions as well during.
Yeah. Visions,
and,
waking
yeah, and
visions
during meditations. Yeah. Yeah, meditations that would come through.
Wow.
So I, you know, these are just on my own, and I feel at some point down the road, as I get older, to mentor others who were in my shoes, right? Because I felt lost, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I was still dabbling in things I shouldn't have been, because, you know, it lowers the frequency down, right? And, you know, others through eye-openers who are, you know, in those dense states of, you know, hate and anger, right? And,
mm-hmm.
You know, glad that I didn't get involved in any of, like, the other side of how to use it, because I didn't even
right.
know what to really expect, really, how to use it. All I did was meditate, and things would come through, right? And, but then again, I feel in 2020, that's when it started to, it wasn't as strongly open anymore. So then
okay.
I remember one January of 2020, there's a full moon that came out, and I used to use the moon's light to illuminate the eye. And
mm-hmm.
it was around that fall, too, I started to notice the connection between the sun and the moon. They say they're the same size if you look
mm-hmm.
away, like, into the sky. So I can remember looking at the moon, and that same size was the same size of that eyeball of that third eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a nice correlation. It's like, wow, other people must know this. But to me, I was just like, you know, who could I tell this to, right?
Yes.
There's no one.
Yes.
Because even my partner at the time was like, you really see an eye right now? I'm like, I'm not kidding. I'm looking at it right now, right? Like,
yeah.
So, anyways, going back to that 2020 of January, I remember forcing it, right? Looking at the moon, trying to get that light into my third eye. And I could see it slowly moving,
mm-hmm.
and it was just barely visible. And I was just like, okay, there's still something here, right? And but kind of like after that point, it was, I don't want to say it was permanently shut, because it is still open, just not as strong as it was in 2019. And then talking to a friend about this, he was just like, you know, it was just something that I think it was a year after that experience in 2020. He was like, it was just a time for you to have that, right? You've seen these things. You've experienced some of what you did, but I mean, you can't have that open all the time.
Mm-hmm.
See too much, right? So he kind of understood that himself, and, you know, he's one of my best friends, this guy.
Yeah.
His dad's really, really knowledgeable about our language and the land and the connectedness of all that. So it's kind of like when he was saying that message to me, I'm like, well, yeah, that makes sense. So I was more or less trying to force it to have it always open, and, you know, trying to get into those meditations again, but without really any purpose either, too, right? I learned that later in meditation, just let go. Well, intent, let go. And if something comes, it does. If it doesn't, you know, don't beat yourself up on it. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
always strike lightning every time you practice these things, right?
Exactly.
So those are some lessons I have come to learn now about not necessarily using it to see, but just to, you know, those other clairaudience, clairvoyance, those other supernatural senses that come with it, having it open, right? So they're coming slowly. I haven't, you know, not at a mastery level or anything. It's serving me right now where I'm at, like, currently, but going back into 2020, again, that's when I, you know, had to get rid of some of these these things that were in those elements of fire that were within and clear me of that. And, you know, it was just an ongoing, it was all new to me, right? I didn't know how to do really anything. I found that the drum helped, though. I have these two drums. So I remember one time I was drumming, and during that drum, too, that's where I felt like nothing can bother me. But then as soon as I stopped drumming, then all that fear, doubt, and worry would come right back again.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I think there's this one track I play on YouTube, and it's Releasing Fear and Anxiety. And I go back to that sometimes, and I think about that time I was sitting down, like, why did it, you know, that pity part you have on yourself, why me, why is this happening? And I look back to where I'm at right now. It'd be nice to go back to that self and be like, you're going to do good. Just, you know, like, I know it sucks now, you know, Matt, but things will work out for you.
Yeah.
And you'll get through this.
Yeah. But the pity party is part of the inner voice that you heard inside of you that actually pushed you towards healing, did it not?
It was just questioning of all the things that were happening, right? Like, how can these people send something to me without my consent? How can I battle this back? Why do I have to go through this? And, but, you know, you look back on it now, you're healing through it, right? You gotta heal through that unconditional love, no matter what anyone does to you, it being physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, you gotta have, you know, I'm learning that with my daughter right now. Like, no matter what she does, you gotta always, you know, have that love. There's something in our word of Gujeminado, which is our word for God, right? That supreme being.
Yeah.
There's that Guje in there. That's like that caringness of, regardless of whatever happens, there's that caringness of who you are as a Anishinaabe people, person or being, right? Like, you're always gonna, nothing's going to stray you from turning into anything else but being a loving person, caring person. And I was like,
right.
Holy shit, like, that's us. That's who we are meant to be. That's who we have those, those seven grandfather teaching of how to be as an Anishinaabe, right? And then there's opposite teachings to that too. So, like, you have all these elements and these things that can help you harness you to be them and call upon them to work with them, right? It's just like, it's so easy to me. Like, I'll play that flute, I'll feel it within the first two rounds of calling those eastern and southern directions, those visualness in those, and it's just like, holy smokes, like, it's just good. You feel less dense. You don't feel the density of this earth. It's just like, do these things to ground yourself. Play your drum. But, you know, like, these were things I didn't know that were going to come, right? This, you know, I was just that young man who was just feeling alone and scared. Like, who could I tell this to? Who's going to believe me? And I feel like I'm all alone right now.
So how did you clear that? So, how did you clear that I'm all alone right now? How did you get yourself out of the pity party? How did you do that? What was the healing involved?
So I'm just trying to think of 2020, because that was the time of COVID as well, right? That just started that spring. I think it was just a lot of, like, just trying to come to terms with the situation. Like, you know, this is where I'm at, and like, these are things I cannot change. And, you know, I may have, you know, had some help from people, and, you know, I didn't go into a really dark spiral or anything. I just, I'm just trying to reflect on how I got out of that, because it was, you know, it still kind of feels like that to this day too. But I mean, I have a much more, like, I can't say it's completely gone, but
okay.
I'm just learning to find the love in the situation. Like, I'm not healed from it because I still see these people around.
Right.
And, but the thing is now is there's some communication. And,
yeah.
That's a big jump from what it was before. You know, because now our kids go to school together, right? Daycare.
Yeah, that's right.
But
well, I know you did some. Well, I know you did certainly did some purging through, with me and through some, what, a couple of my programs, and I'm not sure what else you did, the work you did, and you know, apart from me. But I can certainly remember the two times that you came.
Yeah. So. If we can kind of jump to that point of 23.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, 2020, I was receiving things. I had gotten shakers. I'm trying to think of my, I remember I had helped Jake there in 2021, and he gave me that eagle skull. I didn't know what to use of it, but it came later. I'm just trying to think of my, of these items. The flutes were coming along. I have 7 for those grandfathers. Now they're all here since last fall.
That's awesome.
And the songs that had come with it, there's like 108 variations for all 7 now. Like, I am willing to teach people at some point, but I mean, getting ahead of myself. But because I remember being at your lodge there, because I remember having the Deborah Wynn Mishulmas, which is that grandfather of truth. And then the other is Zalgadwin Mishulmis, which is the grandfather of love. Because I had played those there. And even the second time I had went too. And the first time I had gone was to, I wasn't even planning on going. I had to think about that too. Because remember, I had gone to the day one just to see what it was about. I
yes,
wasn't planning
right.
on staying, and that was just when your helper there was
Bubba.
Just, he turns to me and says, yeah, Bubba, and he's just like before we begin, he's like, I have to know, are you going to stay or not? And,
yeah.
you know, being put on the spot, I was just like, yeah, I'll stay, like, because I didn't think about, you know, how the heck am I going to work through this, right? So, so he had some insight out of the email, like, quit being that old self of, like, this is what my dad did to me, and, you know, you keep, that's your crutch, you keep always using it, don't use it no more, like, you've gone past that, then, through that, there's so much more, that he, I think he's seen me as who my jichuk, my spirit is, more so than the how I feel physically in this body of feeling useless and worthless, right? Like, because I had always gone back to that, like, oh yeah, he did this to me, and like,
yeah,
pity, right? Like,
yeah.
Anyways, so
you worked on it that weekend.
And the Saturday, yeah, because then on the Saturday it was just about releasing, right? So. I do remember you telling us afterwards, like, you know, something might happen on the Saturday, right? Like the Saturday evening, something has been released, and just be aware. Because I had that afternoon, I had gone to another family that I had met down there while I was living there almost 2 years, and I went to go visit them, and then there was a birthday party that evening. I had gone to drop my gift off to a friend there, and came back to the place I was staying. So that's when I had experienced I was just talking to someone about this last night. That was the first time I experienced the tormentor of my Pelche family, the men that were involved.
Mm-hmm.
I could almost go as far back as my grandfather, my dad's dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that night, my friend's son was drinking and, you know, making all this ruckus and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
calling me a faggot from the kitchen, wanting me to hear banging stuff all over, you know, in the kitchen. They're trying to do dishes and slamming, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can remember hearing him say, what the F are those? Are those pipes, because of my flute taste.
Yeah.
And I remember that. So I remember him going downstairs and, like, still muttering about, and I can remember being scared again, like a kid.
Yes.
Like I was that younger self again, right? Like not knowing what to do and
mm-hmm.
Not having a good sleep, right? Thinking that he's going to come up the stairs and it was almost like reliving that thing with my dad again. It felt like, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Just being small. And before the morning happened, I remember having a dream where I had peeked. I had gotten up from the bed I was sleeping on, but the window was in a different spot. So I had peeked through the window through this curtain that was almost a see-through. And
mm-hmm.
I peeked just to see if he was there right outside because I could hear this saw going off.
Yeah.
So then I got up in the physical world here, and it was about 7 o'clock, and I had peeked through the window. And then when I had opened it, whatever you had released was in this young man's body, because it was an old man with like prickled beard. He had a
mm-hmm.
bald head, hair on
yep.
the sides, white, just looked real menacing. And he locked eyes before I could even like know what the heck I was looking at. It's like this thing already knew I was awake and I was about to open up the curtain, like just instantaneous. And I could see that whatever this thing was like grinding metal, because you could see all these sparks fly, right?
Right.
And that's what
okay.
I just had was on the survival alert, like, holy shit, get out. And, you know, long story short, that's when I realized and felt like, okay, this was that thing that had been in that tormented my dad, and then that thing was controlling my dad to hurt me and,
mm-hmm.
you know, do these awful things to his own daughter, right? Like sexually abuse your own daughter. Like, and I'm not sure what he did to my mom, but these are all
mm-hmm.
on these drunken stupors, right? When he was being like blacked out,
right.
drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. So that dark spirit
sort of
had followed
deal.
You. So that dark spirit
yeah,
had followed
that,
you.
Yeah, after releasing it through, right? So, so I go back to the lodge, and that's like, you know, that drive home was just like a lot of what am I seeing, right? And I remember coming back here, and I told my partner, Michelle, and her mom what was going on, and I got Michelle's mom, my mother-in-law, Susan, to get her, she has regalia, so she has a really nice eagle fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the Skoderwashka sage just to, like, clear that all off, like
mm-hmm.
the stuff I was carrying before coming
yeah.
in to sleep for the night outdoors, too, and just to release that off. Because I still
mm-hmm.
felt like there was still some of that anxiety and fear from it, right?
Yeah.
Like, kind of like trying to, like, piece together what I'm actually seeing and looking at what I was looking at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was around, so that was March. And then in April, I had gone to the sweat lodge with Jake Agoni. That was when I the first time I got to use my lightning stones. I went to go pick up in Lake Superior. I had the shaker I made, a rattler.
Yeah.
And he was telling me even before this time, like, those things will light up, eh, in the lodge. And I remember...
Yes, they do.
I was singing that, yeah, that Mukwa, that song there. And it felt like the whole lodge had levitated up, like we're all moving, eh? And I remember during our, and then as the song was done, when I was done singing, we all just came back down. That's how it felt. And
yeah.
I remember when we had our little break there, intermission, whatever, then Jake says to everyone that's in there, if you guys know songs, sing them. Sing them to these, you know, these Mishomis and Okamis, Asin, these stones, right, that are in here with us and all around us. Because then he ended up giving me some bear root and some feathers afterwards. He did some work on me, releasing some stuff from my stomach, because that's where all that anxiety I was carrying at the time.
Yes.
So then he also gave me the song for my name, right? So that Pete Gomez, that Coming Thunder. So he gave me a song called Wabe Benessa, which is the White Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started using that eagle skull as, you know, as a, because it is an eagle, just as a, what would it be, like just an item, right, like to just be in appreciation that I have this now, because I didn't know what to do with that eagle skull, right, so then I would carry that, sometimes I would sing that song in my room here, and then I would have it out and, you know, ask for that knowledge of whatever it is I'm needing, and sing that song through my drum.
Yeah.
And it was real strong one time, too, because I remember this. I was thinking about going in my thoughts in prayer, thought prayer, and, like, asking, how come we have all these Eastern religions with their multiple gods? You have Christianity with angels and all these things. I'm like, where's ours? And holy shit, I felt all of Sheikah Manis, Turtle Island, the ancestors just came in flooding, and I just cried because I was like, damn, they're old.
Yeah.
They're ancient, and they are definitely here to help. And I remember the next day, this was on a Sunday, because then the next day I did the drum group with the residents where I was working at the nursing home in Wiki there. I shared the same story, same thing, cried. And then they were saying, like, you're coming into yourself. You're knowing that connection you're having with your spirit. You're feeling
that's
more
right.
now.
All these experiences.
The drummer that one resident was saying, he was part of the Wukumekong drum committee, right? So, you know, it was really nice just to, like, have that connection and, like, just to feel that, you know, just the power in your voice. Because this was around the same time too when I did get back. I have that unification orb right from Bill and Anne, and when I had done that cedar bath that time I got back in April. Well, after the ceremony, but I think maybe at the beginning of April or whatever, that orb fell down from my shelf and broke. So now I have to get it fixed, right? So it works on that scalar energy, and it was making too much noise, like something was clicking on the inside. So, you know, got it sent back, and then that's when I started to notice I was singing more, right? Like I was using my own voice as opposed to using something that's passive and keeping this home, I guess you could say, protected during the night and the day, right? I still use it, but not, it just, that it was in that time period, maybe like, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, where I just start to use my voice more and start singing. Because I have that within, right? Like, it's a nice tool to have, but the only one that you have, like, use the voice that you own. And,
So a lot of the work, though, that you did, I think what you're helping us understand, Matthew, through your story, is that a lot of the experiences that you had and then the work that you did on whether you did healing work in a sweat lodge or whether you did healing work at my lodge or whether you used modern technology like the orbs and worked with sound frequencies, all of these experiences plus your own dreams and your own visions were leading you, working together to help you remove layers of doubt, layers of fear and anxiety. You remove layers of doubt around whether you had a voice or could use your voice that was silenced when you were a child. So I think what we're starting to understand when we listen to your story is that you had a combination of things happening at the same time that was leading you down a spiritual path that was both healing as much as it was instructing you, right, on and helping you to understand yourself and claim your gifts.
Yeah, because they were kind of just sitting on the side there, right, these instruments and not necessarily using them to, I always say these songs are infinite. I only know a few of them. I said, but, especially singing on that big drum with people, like in unison, it's like, holy smokes, you could feel that energy flowing through those drums, the people, the singing. It's like nothing you can, from anything exogenous that you put in your body, because you're connecting with your spirit in that point and being in community with everyone else. It's so much more when you're actually doing it with people. So that's why usually I try to bring if I'm bringing drums, I'll bring shakers, extras, because I want people to be there with me to do this. If you don't know that song, as long as you could keep a rhythm with me, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's just going to add to that song.
It does. It adds to the intent. It adds to the connection, right? You're using sound, vibration, your heartbeat, your voice. All of that energy is connecting you to other people and to the bigger connection, which is to the Creator.
Mm-hmm. So in May, I'm just going month by month, I had met with this lady out in Kegwan Falls. I had talked to her before in 2020 in COVID time. I remember she was the one that was saying I had I keep seeing a fire element around you. Do you do fires or whatever? And again, that was that spirit, right? That get rid of. But anyways, I had met her finally in person for the first time when we had talked for maybe like an hour and a half. And this was, as far as I could remember, this was the first time when talking to her, I had my guides help me to speak truth about my mother, and that there was something that if I had told her how I really felt, it's going to break her, because she already felt like she failed me as a mother growing up, right, with all that shit that happened with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember crying, saying it out loud, and I remember looking at this woman, and I said, where is this coming from? I don't understand. She's like, they're helping you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that thought that came through is them.
Yes, that thought.
Because I didn't know how to use that, right? I didn't know how can I be like you, this lady who's mediumship, right, and can do Akashic records, again, and that whole thing of how am I equal to you, that doubt, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of them always see the end result of who I am, which is like, this Anishinaabe healer.
Yeah.
That's, that's that's very large, but I keep telling other people too, I was like, well, you guys see that, but I'm carrying a lot of things that are preventing me from feeling what you're seeing.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I don't feel, well, I mean, I feel that now. I feel that
yeah.
now,
yeah.
but even around this time back in May, I can't feel that. Like, I just felt like I wasn't, how do I have this gift to do that? Where you
yeah,
guys
right.
are off on your way and being able to channel and all this stuff. And you had it all along, but you just, like myself thinking that there's just some work, extra work to be done, right? So
mm-hmm.
that was my first glimpse into like feeling that I can connect with these Oshkavi Osak, these helpers, to go along this physical journey that I'm on right now. And then that's what she also said too. She's like, you're probably the most spiritual person I've done a reading on. Almost
yeah.
like, why are you coming to me for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to see
so
yourself, isn't it, Matthew?
Yeah. But with the, well, not so much now, but back then, even probably the
yeah.
fall too, is
back,
the same thing. And her
yeah.
lady said the same thing about me, but it's slowly starting to reveal itself more and more because I could start to connect a lot more easier now.
Yeah.
So going into June now, again, it was the second pipe ceremony, right? So that's why I had to come down to see you because I needed time to do some letter writing, right? I felt that's what I needed to do with my mother, my dad, and these two other
yeah.
people, right? So I didn't have time to do it in being busy with life, having a daughter with my partner and her mom. So I was like, I got to go someplace where I'm outside of, yeah, it's a little selfish outside of my family life to go down. And I don't know, it's a long way just to go down there, but
mm-hmm.
I needed a spot to go and do some work. Because I remember that was the weekend too when I had that dream about the doing that work, right? That's when there was a fire and you told me to call in my helpers and had these cedar boughs I had to put in the fire. And then there was some Anishinaabe with Nina. So there was, I'm not sure if he was of your descent or mine, but he pulled
uh-huh.
back that arrow, right, with that bow. And then he shot it at this woman that was kind of like subdued. And
uh-huh.
as soon as that arrow hit this person, there was a beam of light that came out. So there was a release. And I remember
mm-hmm.
That work that we did on that one Sunday, right? It was
mm-hmm.
it was preluding
yep.
to that.
Yes, exactly. It was a preview to your release.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and for that person too, that other, and the, my own and, you know, all the stuff, I guess, that would be happening that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I remember that we did that offering that day too. And I remember going with Bubba to the back and,
mm-hmm.
you know, of all those letters I had done, I, you know, it was time to burn them. So then what better way to then bring out that song of the Gichitwashkude, the Gomwin, which is that sacred fire song. And then had my, my drum with me too. Right. So we were singing that. I was singing that song until those letters were burning. And that's when me and Bubba experienced that winged creature, that bird fly over us. Is, oh, I don't know. He said he seen it. I didn't, but it sounded pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when there was that release that day. Right. So,
yeah,
when we came back. And so, and even him was saying the same thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know you're here, Matt, but this is something you probably could have did at home. And I was
mm-hmm.
just like, at the time too, same thing. Like, well, I came here because I needed the help. But,
yeah.
you know, he's seeing that end road, right? Down, like,
yeah.
down the ways. And it was,
yeah.
it was also around the same time too when I had that consultation with my cousin Richard anyway, when we were talking about the Makah Dewin, that fasting ceremony and how to
mm-hmm.
prepare for it. And he's really old tradition, right? Like
yeah,
having
Richard
to go through
is, yeah.
the 1-year process. Yeah.
Yes.
Requiring those, that Sema Achigewinen, which is that tobacco offering every morning. You're going to harvest those foods, have time to reflect on your purpose of why you're fasting. Like, I understand all that. So I took that, you know, with okay, that's a starting point. And I talked to Jacob about it too. He's just like, well, just come in October, right? Like, but I know he has a nephew and niece who he takes out. So I've been thinking about approaching them to ask them what I would need to prepare for something like that. Because they've gone several times in their life. And, you know, she, when she was there and I was talking to Jake, she's just like, well, you can go, Matt, but it's not all that you think it's going to be. Like, it's like, if not some mystical experience, you're going to freeze your ass off out there. And like, you're in the elements, right?
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, it's just kind of putting, like, the realism into it.
Yeah, because sometimes that in itself, freezing your ass off, is a teaching. It helps the ego mind to sort of look at itself and realize that, you know, what I might expect is not what I expected, but it's teaching you still, right? It's teaching you to not rely on the mind, but to go out and that's the humility, to humble yourself before the creation, and you'll get humbled that way if you freeze your ass off.
Yeah. So,
so
I
that's
think
your
those
next...
out loud. Yeah, that sounds like out loud. I know we had talked briefly about this. I feel that could be the next step, and along with this other man and Wiki there, I can get some other opinions and start putting this forward, because
the fasting experience.
I feel that there will be some, I feel there will be some learning to do out there. I've had dreams of fasting as well, and they say that Gitchisabe's out there too, that that
Sasquatch.
Four-legged that walks on two legs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeper of the land. I remember seeing him in Wiki too. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not well in our reserve, but he's really sick. Anyways, that was quite a dream.
Yeah.
But going into August
now.
So we've
run out of time. So I just wanted, we might have to do this another story, another show, because we've run out of time. And I know where your journey has, where you're taking us on your journey here, it's leading up to this fast and this huge experience of the fast and the connection to the Sabe spirit. And so we're going to have to end it here, and maybe I'll have to have you come back if you're willing, to sort of pick up the story on where, how your gifts continue to unfold through the next step that you're going to have to take with the fasting.
Yeah, and just a little preview, when I was trying to get back in August, was just there was a clearing done by this man, and there was a lot. And ever since then, because I have to think about when these gifts start to unravel themselves. It wasn't until after he did two clearings, and that's when, like, okay, now I start seeing spirits in this physical
physical form. Stop right there. Let's stop right there about spirits in the physical form. And maybe, Matthew, if you're willing, will you come back on and we can pick up the story from there?
Yes, we can. Most definitely.
Okay. So I'm going to thank you for joining me here on Indigenous Perspectives, and I'll be in touch with the producer, and we'll set up another time for you to pick up the story where we leave it today. Thanks so much, Chi Miigwech, Matthew, for coming on the show and helping us get a glimpse at what it takes to live that spiritual life and walk that path and some of the healing work that has to happen so that the gifts get stronger. So take care, Matt.
No.
We'll talk soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.